Today's gospel is the beginning of the section where Jesus instructs us on how he means to fulfill the law rather than abolish it. This is all part of the Sermon on the Mount. In yesterday's gospel, Jesus said he has not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And then after he said that, he makes this statement about surpassing the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And then he starts giving examples. Today's the first one, how to better understand and fulfill the commandment against killing. So what we have here is the new Moses, the new lawgiver, giving us the new law. It's not completely different from the old law, but it is more, it is richer, it's deeper, it's also more demanding. Before we get to this business about killing, let's just look at what he says first. I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. That would have been a very shocking thing to say, because the scribes and the Pharisees were the best examples of righteousness according to the law. They were the experts. And here he says, you have to surpass that, or you won't even enter the kingdom. It's a deliberately provocative thing to say. Well, how can we do better than the experts? How can we be more righteous than the most righteous? The basis of righteousness is not simply following the law. He's changing the whole game here. We're not called to do what the scribes and Pharisees were doing, which was living according to the law the best they possibly could. They weren't even that good at it, but they're better at it than we are. But Jesus changes the game. Now it's not just following the law. Now it's being transformed interiorly according to this new law, law of love. First example, you shall not kill. Everyone who's had any catechetical training knows that's the fifth commandment. You shall not kill. It's such a basic commandment that we shouldn't have to be told that. Every culture, every religion, every moral system, every person knows that killing is wrong. We shouldn't even have to explain it. But and what Jesus is saying here is, I'm not abolishing that law. It's still forbidden to kill, but I'm saying something more. Whoever is angry with his brother is liable to judgment. So he moves from killing to anger, which is quite a stretch for us. Not only that, even at the level of killing, which the scribes and the Pharisees were not killing anybody. So it seems that in our times, we're worse than the scribes and the Pharisees, not better. He says we have to surpass them. In fact, we're doing worse than they are. Look at modern culture. Killing is on the rise. The most basic commandment, you shall not kill, is so often disregarded. Certainly in the entertainment world, in the world of movies and video games, and there's killing all the time, as if that's just normal. Just go around killing people. And then you know the cases where students are killing each other, and disgruntled employees are killing their bosses, and in the States, you know, there's these endless series of people walking into schools or into malls with guns and just shooting people. What in the world? What kind of insanity is taking grip of the world? We don't even know that killing is wrong. One of the very disturbing phenomena from the previous administration was the so-called Tokhang policy or Tokhang, I can't remember how it was described, but anyway, the killing of drug dealers, or so-called. Thousands of people were killed just killed mercilessly, brutally, just gunned down in the streets, thousands of people, and with explicit approval by the government. That was terrible. But what was also terrible was it remained a popular program. It was acceptable to the culture. What in the world are we thinking? That that's a good thing to kill people? The commandment is not, you shall not kill good people. It's, you shall not kill. It doesn't mean you can kill drug addicts and drug dealers just because they're drug dealers. That's not in the law. And it's not even in the civil law. So now, hopefully that wave of disorder has died down. I don't hear about people being killed in the streets the way it was. But the mentality that made that acceptable is still with us. So here, I haven't even gotten to the new law yet. We're not even following the old law.
In the Western countries, the wave of killing that is so often unmentioned is the abortion pill. Now, pregnant women don't have to go to the clinic or to the doctor. They can just take the pills to kill the child in the womb. That they say that the majority of abortions now are done by this chemical means. And as if that's a normal thing to do? That's a clear violation of this old law. You shall not kill. Okay. Now, here we're, as if we haven't, don't, we're not even at the beginning yet. Jesus is taking it for granted that we understand that we shall not kill. You shall not kill. Before he goes on to you shall not be angry, he says, okay, you've heard that commandment. You've got that part already. Well, have we? Okay, let's assume that we at least accept you shall not kill. Then he goes to this, you shall not be angry. Well, I think we have to start to recognize the various levels that go along with killing. I mean, outright first-degree murder is clearly wrong, and everybody would agree. Deliberate killing of an innocent person is wrong, and everybody agrees. But then, if you think about the different variations of legal descriptions of killing, where there's second degree, third degree, there's manslaughter, there's accidental killing. So if you decide that you want someone dead and you take action to make him die, that's first degree murder, and that's clearly wrong. But if you neglect someone until they die, it's not quite as grave in the law, but it's still killing. If you are just reckless, say you're driving crazily on the street and you hit a pedestrian and he dies, well, you didn't want him to die. It wasn't a deliberate murder, but you're still responsible and there's still a legal punishment for that. But still, it's not as grave because you weren't doing it in order to kill. Then if you're just walking down the street and something happens and a person dies, it's an accident. Well, it's still a grave event. I mean, a precious human life is lost, but you're not responsible for it. So you see all these different variations. Now, I mention this because what Jesus is going to do here is try to get us to look deeper inside to what's going on that can lead to killing. This is related, by the way, to our study of discernment. Many of you are participating in our study of discernment, reading these talks of Pope Francis. The last time, the topic he focused on was self-knowledge. You might remember that, self-knowledge. And he said, self-knowledge is absolutely necessary to discern, because if we don't know ourselves, we don't know what's going on in us, what's happening in us, and even what we ourselves decide, well, how can we grow? So that's related to this. Jesus is telling us to look inside, not just at the action that we do or don't do, but at what our motive is. Why are we doing it? What happened that resulted in killing? Now, we're not killing people. We're not walking around killing people, but we can harbor in ourselves the mentality, the attitude, the emotion that leads toward killing, even if indirectly. That's why I react when I
I hear that the society is accepting of this policy that you can kill drug dealers, because that shows something inside is wrong. Even the people who didn't kill anybody but are saying, oh yeah, it's a good thing those guys got killed. Well, there's something wrong with that, you see? Something wrong with us if we think killing is good. If we think that our enemies should be eliminated by some means, whether it's good or bad. Jesus specifies anger. Anger, of course, is at the first level an emotion that is not under our complete control. When we see something go wrong, we get angry. Or when we are offended, we get angry. That just happens. The question is always, what do we do with that interior movement? This is where self-knowledge comes in. It's important to acknowledge that we're angry. Okay, I'm really angry at this. What am I going to do? Kill the guy? No, I'm not going to kill him, but you know, am I going to get back at him? Am I going to talk about him to my colleagues? Am I going to wait for my moment to make him look bad? Well, that's all killing in a lesser degree. And this is what Jesus is challenging us to eliminate. Not only are we not supposed to end the life of someone, but we are also forbidden to harbor in ourselves the rejection of that person's life, that person's dignity. See how much more challenging this is. Because there are a lot of people who we really don't like, and we would rather they weren't around. I'm not just talking about drug dealers. I'm talking about people that we might interact with every day or every week. Are we responding to the new law of love? Are we living according to the new law, or are we still like scribes and Pharisees? Now, Jesus is not simply saying, before the law was don't kill, now the law is don't get angry. He goes much further than that. And if you read this and ponder it, you see, he says, your relationship with your brother, meaning anyone, is connected to your worship of God. If you're bringing your gift to the altar and then you realize you've got this break between you and one other person, reconcile with that person first. This goes a lot further than not being angry at him. Reconcile. Be reconciled first and then come and offer your gift. So the connection is very clear. Jesus makes it between our worship of God and our love for one another. Let's reflect for a moment on what Paul says about this shift. Now, Paul is very well aware of the difference between what we were taught before and what we're being taught now. And he was an expert. He was a Pharisee, an expert in the law. And he was great at following the law. But he, in this section of his second letter to the Corinthians, he's marveling at how much greater the new law is and how the old law was veiled. It was obscure. It was not really freeing us. So just to take a few excerpts from this reading, he says, where the Lord is the Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. He's talking about the freedom that comes with knowing the love and mercy of God and being able to live according to that love and not being under the domination of our passions. It's freedom. We're not enslaved to sin anymore. We're not enslaved to the flesh. We're free. That's because of Jesus Christ. That's because of the Spirit. All of us gazing with unveiled face on the glory of the Lord, that's God's revealed himself to us, are being transformed. This is the point I'm trying to make about the gospel, this transformation. Are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory as from the Lord who is the Spirit. The transformation that is taking place in us by the power of the Holy Spirit is what makes it possible for us to live according to the new law. Otherwise, forget it. We'll just be angry. And be subject to the flow of our passions. Now, the interesting thing here when Paul, I won't go into every detail here about the difference between being veiled and being unveiled, but when he gets to this business about being transformed, notice what he says about his service of others. So he has said he's free. We are set free. We are free, not slaves. But he says later here, we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for the sake of Jesus. So here's a free man making himself the slave of others. You see how different this is than killing? It's a complete transformation. When we take on the killing or the angry direction, we are slaves and we enslave others. But when we're transformed interiorly by the power of the Spirit, we are set free and we put ourselves at the service of others. We are slaves of others. It's the difference between, if you want to see the greatest example of it, look at the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ. Is he killing anyone? No, he is being killed. Is he condemning? No, he is taking on condemnation. Exact reversal. And this is and pouring forth from the cross, pouring forth from the Sacred Heart, we'll be celebrating tomorrow, is this powerful transforming love. So it's Jesus who lives according to the new law, and it's Jesus who makes it possible for us to live according to this law, by pouring out his love for us, by pouring out his Spirit into us, so that we can be transformed from glory to glory. It's not something we do, but we have to say yes to it. Otherwise, we're no better than the scribes and the Pharisees. So let us welcome the new commandment, the new law of love.